So it truly is an honor to be here this morning. In your Bibles, in Matthew chapter 5, it talks about the Beatitudes everybody always talks about. But I want us to focus on one. We're going to start this off this morning. Number 6, verse number 6, it says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." I don't think you heard me. "For they shall be filled." Amen. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject of hungering and thirst. Amen. What are you hungering for and thirsting for? And I know Thanksgiving's coming Thursday. Amen. I'm hungering for some chicken and dressing. Glory to God. Some turkey and dressing. Excuse me. Okay. Hey, fat boy likes his groceries. Amen. Come on. But that being said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. As I read that this morning, it just like, even as I was reading it, going over it last night, I was like, I recognized I didn't remember saying that before, reading that before. They shall be filled. I always said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's what I've always said. But as I got to looking at it, well, they shall be. So in other words, if you're hungering and thirsting for the things of God this morning and righteousness, that means He's willing and ready to fill you with that righteousness. Amen? He's ready to hand it out to you, pour it out to you, pour it on you, pour it in you, pour it around you, give it to you. Whatever your need is, hallelujah, He's ready to give it to you right now. Whew. For you shall be filled. When you hunger and thirst for the things of God, I've traveled all over the country this year, and I go into places and I'm wondering, are they really hungering for God, or are they just showing up? Man, it got quiet all of a sudden. I didn't say here at Williamson County Cowboy Church. I said around the country. But you know, our best thinking, that's got us where we are right now. Our best thinking. Okay, y'all catch that later. See, because our thoughts aren't His thoughts and our ways aren't His ways. Amen? And so, if you're not hungering and thirsting after the things of God, then it's your thoughts. Then it's your ways. Then it's your projection of where you should be. Then it's your path that you've lighted up for yourself. But that's not what God's Word said, is it? Huh? His Word says, "Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Amen? So His Word, and once you get in His Word, then you begin to understand that we're still learning. Even as mature Christians, we're still learning. And it even says that in Ephesians chapter 2. It says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Amen? So that's a learning phase that in the ages to come, He's still got a lot more to show us. You were singing about, I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. In the middle of the mystery of what you're facing. you want to make your way to the book of Ecclesiastes, that's where we're going to go. And I'm probably not going to have much more time than this chapter in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. If you want to find your way there. We're still learning things. The following verse after that, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves," amen? "That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Amen? It's the gift of God that you got saved by the drawing of His Holy Spirit, making you realize that, hey, I don't have that same Spirit in me. I don't have that same voice that I'm supposed to be hearing and He's talking about. I don't know that voice. John chapter 10, He says, "My sheep hear My voice." I remember when I was 15 years old, I said, the preacher was preaching, he said, "My sheep hear My voice." And I said, "I don't hear it." He said, "Then you're not one of His sheep." Amen. That's pretty blunt, but hey, it took a bluntness like that to get my attention. As you can see, I'm pretty hard-headed. I'm just kidding. But that bluntness made me realize that I didn't hear the Savior's voice. I didn't hear Him when He said, "Charles Dwayne," like my mama used to do. I knew mama was mad when she throwed the Charles on the front of it. Amen? That's my name, by the way. You know mama's mad when she throws the Charles Dwayne, or what's your first name? Your first name is Howdy. She goes throw both names on there. My brother Doyle Edward. Doyle Edward? Daryl Lynn? When he was fixing to get it. Amen. Hey, y'all ain't like y'all just... Anybody raised like that? Huh? Or is that those times gone away? Those times have gone away, basically, but... they're still here in some places. Number one this morning, we're talking about what are you hungering and thirsting for? Number one this morning, the battle is the Lord's. It's not your battle. Even though it seems like it may be your battle, and it may be seeming like that you're the only one looking at it, and it may be, you may feel like you're the only one that can do anything with it, but you don't realize the fact that God is the one that said, "I got this if you'll let me." Amen. Chapter 3, Ecclesiastes. "To everything there is a season." Imagine that. "A time for every purpose under heaven." There is a purpose for every one of us in this room. Amen. Even our children in the back. There's a purpose for every one of us here. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck what is planted. Amen? Wait a minute. What are you plucking it for? Because it don't need to be there. How many times have you had an old weed pop up in your garden? You know it shouldn't be old milkweed or something like that, or bull nettle, or... Y'all may not have those out here. I don't know. But it always wants to take over everything. Them old bull nettles, y'all know what a bull nettle is? I mean, if you bump them with your leg or whatever, they itch for days. I ain't going to tell you what you got to do to it. Y'all come to me later and I might. But that's what we used to do when we was kids. But them things that... When you got to get them suckers, you got to get them at the roots down there. There's a time to pluck, amen. You don't need that any business. An old bull nettle, old weed, old something from the past, an old thing that just really bothers you. Why don't you kick that thing in the seat of the britches and say, get out of my face? Amen? We'll move on. I don't want to get hung up. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, and time to break down in, oh God, what am I going to do? No, it's not a breakdown. That's not what it's talking about. It's time to break down those barriers that are between you and God. Amen? It's a time to break down those walls that you put up between you and your family, you and your friends. Amen? It's a time to kill those old things, to get rid of the old, to bring the new back in. Amen? Because the old will weigh you down. And a time to heal. You see, when the wall of Jericho came down after they walked around it for 7 days, it didn't say it exploded and shattered everywhere. It said it came down. My theory is that the earth opened up and it swallowed the wall. That's my theory. Dwayneism. Put that out there beside it. Dwayneism. Because they didn't have to walk over a bunch of stuff to go into the city. It said they walked in. It said there's all around the city, and they walked into the city. That's the same thing when it's a time, it says it's a time to break down. And then what happened in the book of Nehemiah? They built the wall. Nehemiah was in the place of favor with the king. One of my favorite chapters in the whole book, Nehemiah. In the book of Nehemiah, I'll get it out in a minute, is chapter 8, I believe it is, where it said they built a pulpit, and he stood upon the pulpit, and he opened the word. About verse number 10, I think it is. Only place in the Bible, in the King James Bible, it says pulpit, which is a platform built of wood sitting high above, that when he stood on the pulpit and opened the book, they stood and raised their hands and worshiped. One of the greatest revivals recorded in the Bible, the whole city. It's another story. I ain't got time to go into all that. Look it up for yourself. That's some good reading, I'm telling you. They built the wall. A time to weep. A time to laugh. A time to mourn. A time to dance. David danced before the Lord. I dance for you, but you just laugh. I won't do that for you this morning. But you can dance before the Lord. You can dance in His presence. You can dance and just say, hallelujah! Amen? See, even in the midst of the stuff that you've gone through in your life, you can jump up and say, hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah this morning. Amen? Everybody doing okay? A time to cast away stones. A time to gather stones. A time to embrace. A time to refrain from embracing. Amen? They cast away stones when Jesus was sitting there doodling in the sand. He said, let him cast the first stone. Amen? They started casting away those stones. Amen? Because they realized that there was sin in their lives too. Amen? So they started casting away stones. It's a time to gather stone when they crossed the Jordan River and the water stood up on end for 3 million plus people to cross on dry ground, and they gathered stone from each tribe to place in the center of the Jordan as they crossed through. Amen. And when they crossed the Jordan River, they had a pile of stones, 12 stones, because there's 12 tribes. You with me this morning? They gathered stones and placed a stone in the middle of the Jordan, which is still there today. When's the last time you taken a stone? My life. I'm going to place that stone right here. Amen. When's the last time you taken another stone and said, my life from over here has grown supernaturally more than I ever thought it would, and I'm going to place that stone right next to that because my life, you follow me? I'm not saying you got to take a stone. I'm just trying to say, maybe make that mark in your mind, or maybe do something in the physical that'll help you remember those triumphs you've had in your walk. Amen. Now God's got me to here, and now I know that this battle is not mine, and I know that God is taking me right now, and He's going to show me, and He's going to help me, and He's going to take care of this, and He's got my back the whole time. Because we've wept and we've wept and we've wept and we've wept. Amen. Realizing we don't need that anymore. There is a time to weep, but there's a time to laugh. Because now you can look at that sucker in the face, that devil, and you say, get out of my face! Ha 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 ha! Amen. Try it sometime. Tough this morning. A time to gain, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to throw away. How many times have you been in a situation where I don't need that anymore? It's sitting over there for 6 months. I ain't touched it. But you know, there's always that one box. Now, I'm going to use that again. Come on, somebody. I know. You open it up and say, oh, there that thing. I hadn't needed it in 6 months, but there it is. I got to have that. So you take it out of that box and you move it over here to the shelf over here. That now I can find it when I need it. But you put it on top of the one you just bought because you couldn't find it. Anybody seen that show, Hoarders? Bless those people. I mean, sometimes people have problems, you know. I feel sorry for them. I really do. I can't watch that show. My wife, she don't either. We'd be watching about 5 minutes. And the next thing you know, the comets are flying and the mops are moving around the room and everything else is getting dusted, ceiling fans and dust, and I mean, she's like, I can't take it. Amen. It's a time to throw away, people. It's a time to throw away that stuff that you've been hanging on to all this time. In your spirit. Y'all catch it on here? It's a time to throw that stuff away and let God have it and turn it loose. We all got them. Amen. I'm one of them. one of those that went and bought something because I couldn't find it, and then the next day I found it. Now I got two of them. So I took the one I just bought back. Anyways, everybody doing okay? A time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silent, a time to speak. Ooh, man, that's pretty tough. We was talking about the weeds just a moment ago. That's a time to tear. You get that sucker out of there so we ain't sucking up the moisture from the rest of it. A time to sow, like Pastor was talking about a moment ago. If you're not helping folks out of your abundance, because he came to give us life and life more abundantly. Amen? So that's prosperous. God wants you to be prosperous. But if you're not going to do what it takes to be prosperous, like I said, you're looking at your thoughts. A time to sow. Time to keep silent. Sometimes I get myself in trouble because I don't keep silent. I open my big mouth and my foot flies in. Amen? Okay, honey, you ain't got to say nothing. A time to speak. A lot of things are happening around us. Amen? Where everything's okay. It's all right. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Our kids are being indoctrinated by it's all right to say that I am. But it's not all right, because that doesn't line up with God's word. When I hug somebody, I pat them on the back three times and I say it, I'm not gay. Amen? But now they're teaching our kids that when they, Pastor and I was talking about it earlier, it just infuriates me to no end, that knowing my grandkids are going to be coming up and all that, that's okay. That's a lie, folks. Atheism is a lie. Homosexuality is a lie. Amen? I don't know where that came from. Not too long ago, I was in California, and I had two atheists, about 17, 18-year-old boys. And I was talking to some folks, and they said that that's just a bunch of hogwash. That got my attention. I said, well, I know exactly what you're talking about. They looked at me kind of funny. I know what a hogwash is. Amen. When I was a kid, my daddy raised hogs, amen? And he sent them to the market. And then they had a little lane in out there in the chute area that had water hoses on each side. And he put the grip in our hand. And when the hogs come running through, we washed them off. Okay, y'all catch that later. You're the same thing. We were all hogs and wallowing in the mire and the muck and the poop and the junk and all that stuff. You, that's what you were. But then you went through the hogwash of the Holy Spirit, and God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit were on each side of the chute as you went through there, through the path out to the other side, that when you went through the hogwash, they washed you off and you was clean on the other side. I said, so I know what you're talking about. I never heard that before. I said, well, I can't help that. It's still true. It's the same principle that when you receive Jesus as your Savior, that you're calling hogwash, that he washed all that old ugly junk off of you. He took all of your sin when he hung on the cross. That he took everything that you thought that he didn't do, he took it all anyway. He thought that much of you, and yet you're going to say it's not real. Why is it that I'm here from East Texas, this old fat bald-headed boy standing here talking to you two boys because the interstate shut down because the fire shut it down, that I'm sitting right here right now? That ain't happenstance, I'm sorry to tell you. I led them two boys to Jesus, amen. Along with about five other people. Because what they didn't understand, that God thought of you today. God thought of you today in this place, that when you got here, amen, that there was going to be a time to speak to you. Amen. Glory to God. Come on, somebody. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So you need to go through the hogwash today. Maybe you've been just watering in this stuff. You got away from Jesus and just got out there on the edge of it and fell in it. Like the prodigal son got away from it, ended up being in the hog pen. I ain't got time to go there. Amen. I'm going to close here in just a second. A time to love. A time to hate, a time to war, and a time of peace. Amen? It's a time to hate what's going on around in this country right now. It's time to hate all the negative stuff and start looking towards God. Amen? And we're going to be in a war in this country this next year. Amen. And even with some of our best friends, that's a time to love. Amen. Just because they may like the other side doesn't mean we have to hate on them. We can love on them and show them the love of Christ. Then when we come to that war, after that war's over with, then there'll be a time of peace that God will have the glory. Amen? That time of peace in your life. That time of peace that's going on, that you're struggling with in your lives right now, of trying to keep peace. Why don't you start trying to look at peace, look to peace, the keeper of peace, and let him make the peace, instead of you trying to make it? Are you following me this morning? I know this is a little different, but what are you hungering and thirsting for? If you're not hungering and thirsting for things of God, I've got another point here. I'll give it to you. You can write it down. We don't know how to dwell in the Spirit. I ain't got time to go. Maybe in a couple weeks when I come back, I'll finish it. I don't know. Amen. A lot of times people don't know how to dwell in the Spirit. And that's what you got to do every day when you get up. Thank you, God. Get in the Spirit. Start praying and start just believing and trusting God. His word says in Psalms, he said, blessed are those who make the Lord their trust. Amen. Are you making the Lord your trust this morning? Is he Lord of your life? The Word calls him Lord. There's no other name given amongst men but the name of Jesus, that every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? So the Word makes him Lord. All you had to do is receive him as Lord. It's that simple, folks. It's that simple. Maybe you've gotten away from him. Maybe you haven't ever asked him. I seen an 84-year-old man this summer give his heart to Jesus. I was preaching in a Seventh-day Adventist church. Second time in my life I've ever done that. And they was about to shout me down. They was louder than y'all. And that was only about half the people. And I said, "Man, what got into y'all?" And they said, "You." I said, "Really?" They said, "You made us realize that having that fire and that zeal of Jesus, there really is something to that." And so they got on fire for Jesus over the last year, have seen salvations, and have seen, they had over 20 salvations and had over 20 baptisms, hallelujah, in their church. Glory to God. I want to encourage you this morning that you can have that same fire and zeal. Not everybody can be like me, but you can still have a fire and a zeal for Jesus, that somebody gonna know that you know Jesus. Where if you're standing in the only line open in Walmart out of 30, they gonna know that you know Jesus. I did it the other day. They looked at me like I was crazy. And I was standing there in the line, and these ladies were telling me, "I can't believe they, you know." I said, "You know, that's right." I said, "But welcome to the greatest day of your life." And they looked at me, "What?" I said, "Ain't it great?" I said, "Well, why do you say that?" I said, "Because you're getting to talk to me." "What's so special about you?" I said, "I'm glad you asked that." I said, "Because the joy of Jesus can have a line backed up from me." And they looked at me, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, I'm talking to you about Jesus." I said, "Well, I understand that." I said, "Why, well, you got to get mad about a line? You'll be up there in a minute." "Well, see, you ain't got nothing to argue about." I said, "Why don't you just focus on him? Talk to her about Jesus right up there." And everybody looked, all of a sudden they're all looking around at me like, "That's pretty good." The whole line was smiling and laughing, amen? And this is in Washington, up the country, you know, Washington State, one of the unchurched states in the world, or in the country. But I was still able to talk to them about Jesus just by smiling and saying, "Welcome to the greatest day of your life." Amen. They go, "I've never heard anything like that." I said, "That's because you're not giving God the glory. When you start giving God glory, then it'll show." Amen. So anybody in here this morning need Jesus as your Savior? I know it's kind of different, but hey, we want to love you anyway. Anybody in here this morning say, I need to have Jesus as my Savior. I've never asked him. Anybody? Go on once. Don't get anybody. Anybody? Anybody over here say, "I need to receive Jesus as my Savior"? Amen. Anybody? I'm going to give you an opportunity right now just to receive Jesus. Anybody right here? Anybody? Over here? Hallelujah. Give Jesus some praise. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You see, I do that a little different sometimes because that's what God tells me to do. And I did it not too long ago over here in Bernie, Texas. And a young gal says, "I do." 22 years old. Didn't know what she was wanting, but knew she needed something. So with nobody looking right now, maybe that'll give you an opportunity to just extend your hand up and say, "That's me. I really wanted to raise my hand just a moment ago and say, I want Jesus as my Savior." Anybody, I want to give you another chance right now to say, "That's me. I want to receive him as my Savior." Anybody? 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 Hallelujah. you, Jesus. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, everybody's perfect in here this morning. Praise God. Just kidding, y'all. But Father, whatever need needs to be met, Father, whatever pain that they've been going through, be touched. Whatever hurt or broken heart in their life right now that they're suffering through, may you ease that. Maybe somebody in here this morning that just don't know what to do. Maybe they lost their job, or maybe they're looking for a job, or whatever it may be this morning, Father, that person this morning is just really struggling and don't know how to stay. But I gave you 31 reasons right there just a moment, a time to do this and that and this and so forth and so on. You can go back and read it for yourself. There is a time for you, and that's right now. Anybody in here this morning, hallelujah, that God has touched you right now, Father, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for those people right now. Anybody in here that need a special touch in here, anybody, you just raise your hand up real quick. Anybody? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody? Okay, thank you. Got to hold them high so I can see. Okay, got you. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, these that just raised their hands right now, they have a special need. See, you might not have said anything, but when you acknowledge the fact that that's me, you spoke to God through your heart, through your mind. You spoke to Him just now. And His Word said He heard your cry. Amen? So I want to encourage you this morning. Just get rid of it right now. Let God have it because it's His battle, not yours. And receive the victory on the other side of that. Amen? Father, I thank you, Lord, for everybody here today. May they be blessed for being here. May they be blessed for giving. May they be blessed for just showing up this morning and being in your presence. Bless them this week. Bless everybody on the holiday travel and that they have safe passages, Father, Lord, wherever they go, and just fill up on the groceries and then get to fill up on you. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done, what you're going to do, and the many blessings and the healings that's taking place even as I speak. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Pastor.
Talking about a time for this, time for that. You know, there's times for everything in our lives, and we've got to be able to hear from the Holy Ghost. And here lately, it's been for me, it's just be still. Not necessarily so He can fight a battle or anything. Maybe He just wants me to be still and just listen. There's times when we've got to be praising and worshiping, and then there's times we've got to be quiet and listen. So, good message. I really appreciate that. I love that man. He is so special to me, and He's been with me since I started preaching. When we were doing outreaches in Georgetown, he did the very first service there, and he's a wonderful man. And I appreciate every time he comes. So if you'd like to honor him or bless him, he's got CDs in the back. They got a little table at the back, and if you'd like to get one of those CDs, just go see him after the service. But if you haven't turned in your tithes and offerings, that bucket over there is specifically for that. But if you want to bless him directly, financially, Dwayne, do you have a certain ministry? You just want Dwayne Williams. Just Dwayne? Okay, so just Dwayne Williams. If you'd like, if you write a check or whatever, put it in the offering bucket right here. If you want him to document, if you're putting in cash, you can grab one of our envelopes. You can put it in there and put your name on it, and that way you can have a documentation that you gave. So again, Corey should be here next week, and then Dwayne will be back here in a couple of weeks. We have a few things coming up here at the church that are Christmassy. Everybody loves Christmas, right? Well, probably not as much as me, but I'm real Christmassy. I've been in a Christmas zone for about the past 2 months, and my kids are all over me about that. Everyone, or at least half, I've got some kids in my class that are like, yeah, turn on the lights, put on Christmas music. And then some are like, why do y'all do that, you know, year-round? I'm like, I don't do it year-round. I start in October. That's not too early. So I got Christmas lights hanging in my classroom and all kinds of stuff. I still try to put Jesus in the classroom somewhere. They may or may not know it, but I'm doing it somewhere. You can bet. On December the 6th, we were going to have the cookie exchange here, but we're going to move that to a different address. So Jeanette Roach, raise your hand. Where you at in here? There you go. So y'all please see her. If you were going to do the cookie exchange, you did not get the email or a text, right? If you have not been informed yet of where that address is, please see her afterwards. She'll get you the address. It's right here in Liberty Hill off County Road 200 in that area. So if you plan on going to the cookie exchange, which is a Friday night, I believe, if you haven't got that new address, please go see her right after the service. She can tell you how to get there. Also, the Christmas concert and our Christmas festival, Liberty Hill Christmas Festival, and our ornament exchange is all happening the week after. So that's like the 12th, 13th, 14th. I think the 12th through 14th. I think the parade is on the 14th, which is a Sunday. I believe, or is that a Saturday? That's Saturday. Friday, there you go. And then the concert. Saturday. Sunday. Yes, exactly. And we can get you more details when we get a little closer. We're going to need people riding the float. We have a float every year in the Christmas parade. So anyway, so December the 6th is the cookie exchange. Go see Jeanette. She'll get you the address to that. They were going to do it here, but they decided they want to just move it to her home. But the week after, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, is everything that's happening here and in Liberty Hill with the Christmas festival, etc. So I think that's it. Dwayne's CDs are in the back. If you'd like one, please go see him. If you want to give to him directly, put it in this bucket here in the middle. So y'all stand to your feet. We'll be dismissed. Thank you guys for coming. If you're new here, again, thank you for being here. Hope you had fun. Thank you for thanks for visiting. We're glad you're here. We appreciate you. Let's pray and we'll get out of here. Father, we are so thankful and we love you. And we honor you for everything you do for us. We are so thankful that you've given us your Holy Spirit to go with us, to be with us, not just here at church on Sunday. We know that you dwell everywhere. You don't have to exit somewhere to be somewhere else. We thank you that you are with us in church and when we get in our cars and when we go to sleep at night and when we go to work. We are honored that you love us. We know that there's a time for everything in our life, Lord. Teach us what those times are. Teach us when to say stuff, when to keep our mouth shut, when to celebrate, when to be silent, when to praise, and when to be silent. And we love you, and we thank you for all that you're doing for us. We thank you for everything that you're doing in our lives, and we love you. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for us. I know we're in a week of Thanksgiving. We're just so thankful for Jesus. We honor you, and we love you. Thank you for protecting everybody as they travel. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You're dismissed. Big round of applause. We'll see you later. Thanks for coming.